Hebrews chapter 10. Read a very familiar passage of scripture. If you read your Bible, you've read this before. Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 19. Hebrews 10, verse 19. The Bible says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another provoked unto love and to good works. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, which is true. God, I pray tonight, Lord, you help me give to your folks, Lord, what they need tonight. Lord, give us something, dear God. We're asking you, Lord, give us something, Lord, that would touch our hearts, that would motivate us, Lord, to leave this place, have a desire, Lord, to serve you even better. And God, thank you for establishing this local church, for giving us our pastor, and providing us, Lord, a church family here at Crossroads Baptist Church. Thank you so much for that. Father, we ask you to just be with us in a special way. Bless. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I just want to talk to you quickly tonight about what I see in this particular passage of Scripture is the three great virtues that we have as Christians. And we know what it is. It talks about faith, hope, and love. And what's so neat about that, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, Apostle Paul tells us that, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, he says, or love, these three, but the greatest of these is charity, right? That word abide there in that scripture means to remain. You know, that's telling me, look, once you lose your house, your car, even lost your dog, right? You look like you lost everything, but you still, you know what you still got? Faith, hope, and love, right? Faith, hope, and love. Every one of us, as Christians, possess these lasting virtues. But the thing is that all of us are putting these virtues into action in our life. So I kind of want to look at, real quickly tonight, what are we doing with these great virtues that God has given us? No matter what you face in your life, no matter where you find yourself, you can find yourself at the lowest of the low or the highest of the high, even in the middle, three quarters, one quarter. It doesn't matter. Guess what you got? Faith, hope, and love. We got these things, right? The question is, what are you doing with them? What are you doing with them? Hopefully tonight, I want to talk a little bit about that. In verses 19 through 21, the Bible tells us that because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we can enter into the presence of God. And now, Jesus Christ has become our high priest. And get this, now because of what Christ has done for us, and because Christ is our high priest, we see in verse 22, it says, let us. Let us. In other words, if you are born again, child of God, Christ is your Savior. Christ is your high priest. Now, let us, right? Let us. And we'll talk a little bit about that. Let us. Verse 22 says, let us draw near. Verse 23 says, let us hold fast. Verse 24 says, let us consider one another to provoke to love. Let us draw near. That's our faith. Let us hold fast. That's our hope. Let us consider one another. That's our love. We can say it this way. Let us draw near. That's our confidence. Let us hold fast. That is our conduct. And let us consider one another. That is our compassion. Amen. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, he is our Savior. He is our high priest. Let's put something into action, Right? You know, I teach Sunday school class. It's all about the practicality, right? You read God's word, and, you know, it's wow. It's all, ooh, it is. But then you read even closer, it says, get to work. Get going. Get to doing. And guess what we have to do this stuff with? Faith, hope, and love. It doesn't matter where you are in your Christian life. You can be a little itty-bitty baby. You can be a giant old person, right? Spiritually. But just what you got. Faith, hope, and love. I just think it's so, so neat. So, first of all, look at verse 22. Let us draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart, full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. You see, we draw nearer to God by faith. You know, what does that mean? You know, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, there's the great biblical definition of faith. But I like this one, too, a little bit. It says, faith is not simply the assent of the intellect to reveal truth, but is the practical submission of the entire person to the guidance and control of such truth. That's what faith is. I got faith that I'm going to submit to the truth of God's word. Why? I got faith. Right? Faith. Faith is absolutely essential in a Christian life. We know that. Hebrews 11, 6 tells us this. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not only that, faith is essential to your success as a Christian. 2 Chronicles 20:20 says this, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. Believe. Faith, right? It's essential in our spiritual defense. Ephesians 6:16 tells us this. Above all, take the shield of what? Faith, right? And it shall be, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You know, if you are not successful at quenching the fiery darts of the wicked, you know they're out there as soon as you step out the house, right? Someone blows your arm. That's a fiery dart right at you. That wicked person, right? How are you gonna quench that? Faith. Faith in God. Faith in what God can do for you. Faith what God has promised you, right? Faith. Not only that, faith is very essential in prayer. James 1:5 tells us that. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally and unbraideth not. And it shall be given to him, but let him not ask, but let him ask in faith, right? Nothing wavering. I like what the verse there also tells us, in full assurance. Full assurance is the character of the faith by which we are to draw near to God. Your faith ought to be fully, have full assurance, right? It's not so much because you don't know. You can look back and see what God has done for you. That's what's so neat about being a Christian. Anytime you have a wonder about what God's going to do going forward, just look back and look what he done. Man, he met my need. I'm going this way. By faith, right? Faith. Faith. Full assurance. So the question is, could it be the reason why you or I are not close to God tonight is because we are not submitting ourselves to the truth of God's word by faith? I don't know where you are. Where are you? Where are you? You know, I see you, but where are you? We really know where we are spiritually. When we come to church, I've been there. Come to church, and you know, you're so low spiritually, it's you don't even want to talk about it, right? But there's a reason why you're low spiritually. And it has to do with your faith in God, right? You just don't believe what God is going to do for you, right? And therefore, you're not, you're low. So, faith in God. He says, let us draw near by faith. You know, that is fueled by the truth of God's word. It is, you know, without faith, faith come by what? The hearing of the Word of God. You want to increase your faith? Increase your reading, right? And then submit to it and watch God work. Praise the Lord. Watch God work. I've seen it work in my life so many a times. Faith. So now look at verse 23. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, right? This speaks about our hope. And you know what I like about hope? Hope can be, this is big. Hope can be defined as good things, expecting good things from God. I mean, that's what hope is. Hope is never sad. I guess some people have sad hope. I don't know. But when I got hope, I'm expecting something good, right? Look, on the first and the 15th of every month, I go to my mailbox hoping for that check. I skip to that mailbox. I don't go pick up my check. Oh, I got to go get my money. No. I'm serious. I'm hoping. And hey, look, you a born again Christian, you got that. You got, why? Because Christ is my Savior and he is my high priest. I have hope. And that's why he said, let us hold fast. Hold fast, right? To our hope. And like I said, the reason why we as Christians hold fast to our faith is because we are expecting some good things coming from God. And of course, the source of our hope is Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1 tells us that, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Praise the Lord. You know, a lively hope by the resurrection of our Jesus Christ from the dead. Here's what's neat. When faith meets God's grace, there is an explosion of God's power in making a new creation. And the fallout of that new creation is God's hope that he's given us. Look, when I got saved, I got full of hope. People say, I got saved and start talking about what Christ has saved me and my friends the following week. You know, what's going on? Man, I got hope like I ain't never got before. What you hoping for? I'm hoping to go to heaven, you know, because of what Christ has done for me. Yeah. Hope. God gives us that. The author is simply telling us in verse 23 to keep on expecting, right? Keep it on. Without wavering, he says. It's good because God is faithful. Faith affects our confidence. Hope affects our conduct. 1 John 3 says this, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. That's hope. Amen. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purify himself. You see, a lack of hope indicates a lack of faith. For you cannot have hope without faith, and you cannot have real faith without having real hope. You see, real faith in God brings hope. I don't see how it does it, right? I got real, honest to God, faith in God. And that is, I'm going to give you nothing but real, honest to God, hope. And that affects your day. That affects your walk, your talk, everything. And hope, it says, hope brings expectation of the blessings of God. And the expectation of the blessing of God brings you joy. Brings you joy. You find me a Christian that doesn't have joy. Somebody's hope. Somebody's faith, right? I know we're all different. I can only just testify about myself, right? Once I begin to realize who God is, what he has promised, what he says he's going to do, once I look back and see what he has done, you know, I have nothing but hope, right? I know there's the clouds are gathering, it's thunderstorming, it's all this, but I still got hope because I know my God is on the throne, amen, and who is. My God, he is my Savior, and he is my high priest. Therefore, I will hold fast. hold fast. But the problem is, we're not drawing close to God. We're not drawing close to God because we refuse to submit to His Word. Have you ever done that? Have you ever put God's Word to the test? I mean, really. Right? It's not a theory. It's not no... I don't know how to explain it. It's not a theory. You just got to do it. I'm going to tell you. Just put them to the test. You know, you are reading God's Word. If I do this, do that, do this. If I act this way, because, see what happens. Man, I'm going to try to tell you right now, you're going to see what happens. Right? You're going to be blessed. You know, you're going to say, well, I've done this, I've done that. I don't have two pennies to rub together. You know what I got? Got that joy. You can't beat joy. You just can't beat it. You can try to beat it, but you can't beat it. Oh, to be joyful in the midst of a storm. That's a miracle. But I'm telling you, there's something about being joy on the top of the mountaintop, too. That's a miracle. And it's good. Why? Because I held on, right? I hold fast to God. And lastly, verse 24 tells us, let us consider one another, right? Let us consider one another to provoke unto love, unto good works. Of course, this speaks about the greatest Christian virtue we have, which is love. Man, love is preeminent value. It's the number one trait that you can have. It's the number one virtue that you can have. The effect of love is so powerful that it's considered fulfillment of the whole law. Love is active. And it must bless others, right? Love is the chief test of our Christian faith. Love is the highest motive for our moral action. So much so that without love, anything you do falls so terribly short. All sin is rooted in selfishness, but all Christian virtue springs out of love. It's hard not to have some love. I know we can all be... You know, you met those folks. They just exude love. They love you. They love everything about you. It is love, and I like that. But we're not all like that. But I'll tell you what: we all should have some love, right? That we can shed on somebody else. God said He has given that to us, and it is chief one of our chief virtues that we have. It is with love that we are to consider one another. It is with love that we are to provoke one another to love. You know, did you know that? I am provoked to love you as you love me. You know? You loving on me. You know, all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. This guy loved on me. I want to love on him some. You know? I don't know what's going on. This guy, you know, came up there and did this for me. And after he did, he said, brother, I love you. I got to do something with this dude, right? I love this guy, right? We just feed on each other. I mean, you ought to be provoking somebody. You ought to be provoking somebody in this community here, right? To love, right? And because what God has done for you, to provoke that means to stir it up, right? You love somebody, stirs up. It does. I'm telling you, it does. You know it. You know it because someone has loved on you and you felt a little bit of something up in there. You didn't feel nothing for that person. That person did something. Oh, I'm feeling something for this guy. Right? Love. I thank God for these virtues that He's given us. It works. God's word is so true. It's so true. Look, you're going to find yourself backed up on 95. You turn on WTOP. 16 car accident. Look to be there for the next 5 hours. You would need some love. Just start shouting and praising the Lord, right? For what He has done, right? What are you doing? What God has given you. What are you doing? Right? Faith, hope, and love. I know we have other virtues. But these are just so special. And we need to cultivate them, and we need to put them into action. Come on now. You got it. Put it into action. What, you got your faith, hope, and love sitting on the shelf someplace? You know, where's your faith and hope and love?
On the shelf over there, third row, right there. It's the one got dust on it.
Well, go blow it off, right, and put it into action in this community. Here's what's so neat about all that. It's just reciprocal. It just comes back, right? And then you'd be wondering, what in the world I was sitting back doing nothing for nobody for so long? It's something about this loving each other. It's something about trusting God. It's something about that hope that God gives you when you don't even know where to turn, right? You just hang on to God. And people don't have it. You got it. You got it. Because what God has done for you. Why? Because after the smoke is cleared, these virtues will be the only one surviving. Surviving. You might have no more patience. You might have no more tolerance. Right? You might lose some, some good smiling. I don't know. But you're going to have these. And then you activate these, life is going to be so much better. So much better. So, let us draw near. That speaks about our faith, our conduct, our confidence, Let us hold fast. Talks about our hope and our conduct. And then let us consider one another with love. Talks about our compassion. You talk about life changing. Life changing. I hope that you think about these this week and let God speak to your heart, change you for His better, for His glory, for His honor, and for your benefit. Faith, hope, love. Amen. What are you doing with them? You got them. Do something with them. To honor God. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for your grace, love, and your mercy. God, you've just been so good to us. Help us, Lord, realize what you have given us. You have given us so much, and some of us are not using it. Help us, Lord, to put these virtues that will last for all our lives, that will last no matter what comes into our lives. Help us put them into action, Lord. Our faith, our hope, and our love. And watch you change our lives drastically, dynamically, God, because we understood that you are our Savior and you are our High Priest. And these virtues you have given us to be used for your honor and for your glory, but also for our benefit. So, Father, we love you, and we look forward to how you're going to work in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.